Sadly, it is the case that the book of Ruth is a very neglected book of study. Other than ladies' classes sometimes, or ladies' days, or events that revolve around ladies, for some reason it seems to be the case that the book of Ruth is oftentimes not looked at or studied as it should be, put into context not only for the ladies, but likewise the principles that are contained therein for you and I as men. But the book of Ruth is a story, an account of a very precious lady who made some very important decisions in her life that defined who she was. And I think that if there is any verse in the book of Ruth or the Bible as a whole that would define who Ruth was and whom we need to be in principle as it relates to her life, that Ruth 1, 16 and 17 would probably be the verses. For given the context in which she said it, which we will notice in just a few minutes, Ruth said to her mother-in-law Naomi, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." The book of Ruth has been referred to as the book of boundless beauty. And the reason for that, obviously, is not necessarily because of Ruth's physical appearance, for we have no record of what she looked like. But the beauty of which we're talking is her inner beauty. Those characteristics or those qualities that comprise who she is and defines who she was. It makes her to be a beautiful person in the sight of God because of the decisions she made and the sacrifices that she was willing to endure. But the 10 years or so of Ruth's life that is recorded in this particular book ranges from some of the saddest to the happiest and most impacted events that would occur in Ruth's life as well as would occur through the history of man. And tonight we want to focus on the 4 chapters of the book of Ruth and kind of step through her life in the way in which the book records. And to do so, we're going to look at just a few things regarding Ruth. First of all, I want us to study and to notice Ruth's life, because it's Ruth's life in general that's going to go about expounding upon the rest of who Ruth was and how Ruth's character and how Ruth's nature is such an example that is applicable especially unto you and I as children of God, because she had so many qualities in defining who she was that can be an aid unto you and I as we attempt to serve God as New Testament Christians. But in looking at Ruth's life, we want to first of all look at the background of her husband, because it's really that makes the entire story possible. In Ruth 1, what you find in beginning in verse 1 is that there began to be a famine in the land of Israel. And so because there was a famine in the land and there was a short supply of food and other necessities that were needed for the people to live, many of the people began to wander into foreign nations trying to find a means by which they could survive. And it's in verse 1 that we're first introduced to two people named Elimelech and Naomi. Well, Elimelech and Naomi come from Israel and end up in the land of Moab because they had heard that there was bountiful supplies in Moab. And so they journeyed from Israel into Moab with their family in order to see that they would be able to survive the great famine that was going on in the land of Israel. While they were away, though, it came to be the case that Elimelech died there in the land of Moab, leaving Naomi and their two sons there in the land alone, by themselves, without their father, without her husband. And it came to pass that the sons eventually found them wives of the Moabites and married them. And those two women whom their sons married were named Orpah and Ruth. And so, really, one of the first things that we notice about Ruth is that she was not an Israelite, which may surprise us if we don't know much about the book of Ruth, because she is held to such high regard in the Scriptures that one otherwise might assume that she would be of the children of Israel. But Ruth was actually of the Moabites. And so Ruth and Orpah came to marry the two sons of Elimelech and Naomi. Well, just as their father died in the land of Moab, in just a matter of time, it came to be the case that the two sons died likewise. And so now Naomi is not only without a husband, but now she is without her two sons, and Ruth and Orpah are now also widowed. And so these three ladies, one an Israelite and two Moabites, are pretty much stranded in the land of Moab by themselves, because Ruth and Orpah have now joined themselves to this family. And in that time, when a woman joined themselves to a family, they were bound to that family unless otherwise released. And so in looking at the background of the events of Ruth's life, we find the things that brought them into contact. Elimelech died, their two sons died, and so now Naomi, Orpah, and Ruth are all together. The mother-in-law and the two daughters-in-law. However, as we move from the background of her husband, noticing the event of his death, it's these multiple events that brought about multiple consequences in their lives. Because as you look throughout the rest of the book of Ruth, if these events had not happened in the way that they were, how would the rest of the events of her life have panned out? And so now moving from Ruth's life, the background of those things that came about in the rest of the book, defining who she was, helping her to develop the character that she did, we notice before we leave this particular point the situation in which Ruth and Orpah now find themselves. Naomi, without a husband, without any relatives in Moab, as it were, decides, hey, Israel seems to be doing well now. We don't know how long a period of time it's been. But word gets to Naomi that Israel is out of the famine, that supplies are bountiful, and that she could leave the land of Moab and be able to survive and provide for herself. And so she makes the decision that she was going to go back to Israel. Well, this is really where we find ourselves at the crossroad regarding Ruth, Orpah, and Naomi. Because now we move from Ruth's life to Ruth's love. Because it's at this particular juncture in life that Ruth begins to define herself to all those who would read about her. And the first means of love that Ruth shows is Ruth's love for Naomi. When Naomi makes the decision to go back to Israel, as we had mentioned, Ruth and Orpah are bound to that family. And because they're bound to the family, they are to follow that family wherever it leads them unless otherwise released. Well, Naomi obviously is a compassionate woman. And she sees Ruth and Orpah, obviously two very young ladies, two ladies who could go off, marry others since their husbands had died, and really start all over again with a new life. And so she calls Ruth and Orpah to her one day, and she tells them that she is going back to Israel. And in verse 8, Naomi says to them, Go return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. And then she kissed them. They lifted up their voice and wept. She's giving them their release. She's giving them opportunity to flee from this bond of family. Go stay in the land of Moab, stay among their family, stay among the relatives, marry another husband, start all over again. And Orpah takes that opportunity. Naomi grants the blessing upon her. Orpah departs unto her family to begin all over again. But it's at this point in life we find Ruth making the statement that we read as the text of our lesson, Ruth 1, 16 and 17. Because it was in response to Naomi's blessing that she go and start her life all over again that Ruth shows her love for Naomi. Now, as we said, we don't know how long that this family had been together. Obviously, it was a matter of time. Because it was a time in which Israel was in famine until the time that they came out of famine. And depending on how long that was, which usually took years, we're looking at that being the time frame that they were together. But it was obvious within this short or long period of time, whatever it was, that there was a special bond that developed between Ruth and Naomi. And so even though Naomi gave her opportunity, as she did with Orpah who took it, Ruth makes this demand. She makes this request. She makes this statement saying, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. And where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." That is a very sacred vow that Ruth is making. Because in fact she is saying that I will never leave you, and if I do, may God have a curse upon me if anything comes between us other than death. In other words, Ruth is vowing that she would be a constant companion with Naomi until either the day she died or the day Naomi died. Now this coming from a young woman toward one who really wasn't even of her blood relation is a strong sign of her love and of her loyalty and defines the very character that Ruth had, a beautiful character, one that was certainly going to benefit her in her life as well as us by learning from her example. And so we see, first of all, her love for Naomi. But then we see another character introduced into the record. Because beginning in verse 2, when Ruth stays with Naomi, they go back into Israel, returning to Bethlehem, Judah, where Naomi was originally from. Ruth begins to find means by which she could provide for herself and Naomi. And so she is told that they have a relative. Naomi has a relative there in Bethlehem where Ruth could go glean from his fields. And we're introduced to a man named Boaz. Upon their return to Israel, she began to reap from the fields of Naomi's relative, Boaz. And Boaz pretty much returns home one day, sees this woman in the field afar off, and inquires as to who she is. And his servants tell him that she is Naomi's daughter-in-law. Of course, Naomi being a relative of Boaz, and Boaz takes an immediate interest in her. In fact, his interest in her extends even to such an extent that he tells his servants that when they go into the fields to glean and to harvest the crop, that they're to leave some of the plants that they pick in the fields so that Ruth could take them without having to work to get them. And she could take them home, provide for herself, and provide for Naomi. And so he takes quite a liking to her. And that liking is reciprocated by Ruth. Because in Ruth 3 and verse 9, we find that Ruth one night is, Boaz awakes one night to find Ruth at his feet. And in Ruth 3 and 9, she responds to his request as to who she is. And she says, "I am Ruth, thy handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman." Now the wording of this may not mean a whole lot to us because we don't really speak in these terms when we're courting today. But what we see here is a sign of interest. Ruth is pretty much saying, "You like me? I'm here for your takings if you so desire." Not in a physical means by any sort. Because later on in the verses you'll see that she left so that nobody would see her and think that they had physical relations. But what we're finding here is Ruth saying that she has the same interest in him that he has in her. And so just as she had a love for Naomi, she likewise had a love for Boaz. And this love between each other was made complete in Ruth 4 verses 1 through 8. When Boaz took upon himself his kinsman's right. Because under Jewish law, when a man died having a wife and yet no children, It was the responsibility of one near kin to then take that woman and marry her and bring forth children of that seed line. Well, Boaz, being a near kinsman in Ruth 4, 1 through 8, says that he then goes to the gate, of the city. We talked about this morning how that is pretty much the judicial court of the day. And he goes to the gate and sits down there, and behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, "Ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here." And he turned aside and sat down, and took 10 men of the elders of the city, and said, "Sit ye down here." And they sat down. And he said unto the kinsman Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know. For there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. Then said Boaz, after the request for the land of the family was completed, Boaz said again, what day thou buyest the field of the land of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to rise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. The kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar my own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Now this was the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing, for to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor. And this was a testimony in Israel. And so the plucking of the shoe, handing it to the neighbor, was the sign, I will redeem it myself. Well, this particular kinsman who was going to do so said, I can't do it myself. And so now look at what Boaz does. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. And again, the wording may not mean a lot to us, but this is the sign of the covenant. This is the sign of the agreement. Myself as the near kinsman, I will redeem not only the land, but I will redeem Ruth to be my wife, that I might bring forth child with her, so that the inheritance of this land might continue through that seed line. And so just as Ruth had a love for Naomi, she had a love for Boaz, and Boaz had a love for Ruth. And just as we talked about this morning, the great blessing that's found in marriage between a man and a woman who love each other, this is the very sacred bond into which they enter. Ruth and Boaz, husband and wife, loving each other for the rest of their lives. And so Ruth's love was not only for Naomi, but likewise for Boaz, but we certainly cannot leave this particular point without discussing Ruth's love for God. Now going back to Ruth 1:16 and 17, we mentioned how she shows her loyalty to Naomi. But as we notice this particular wording that she uses, we have to look at the progression in which Ruth works in loving God. Because remember, as a Moabite, she was not a believer in God necessarily at the beginning. She, being a Moabite, would have been an idolater. But there was such a strong bond between Ruth and Naomi that she was willing to reject and leave everything her family had ever stood for and turn to believe in the God of heaven. Now that's a very strong point, friends. Because most often when we talk to someone in the world today about the Bible, and we begin to teach them about the church and the plan of salvation and the worship of Christians, most often if they reject such an idea, what might be one of the first arguments out of their mouth? But my parents, or but my family, or are you saying that my parents are wrong or that my family is wrong? You say, we hold such a strong bond to our own family often that we will reject God and cleave to family. But Ruth was not such a woman. Ruth was willing to reject the beliefs of her family for the sake of believing in and following God. And going back to Ruth 1:16 there at the end, she says, thy people shall be my people and thy God my God. Well, at first she accepts the God of heaven for the sake of Naomi. But when it comes to the end of this particular account, do we really think that her faith is still based solely on the faith of Naomi? Or in other words, do we think that Ruth's faith is still dependent upon the choices and the decisions of Naomi? Or can we come to expect the fact that she developed her own faith, and that she developed her own love for God, and that she developed an independent system of faith in which she believed in God separate and apart from any faith Naomi might have had? I think that's how we conclude that book. Because when you read of Ruth throughout the Bible, and the few mentions there are outside of this book, she's talked about in high esteem. How could one who would reject God for the sake of idolatry, or maybe pretend to believe in God while all the time being an idolater, be spoken of highly by the inspired writers? I think through that outside evidence, it's clear that Ruth loved God as herself and for herself, and not dependent upon any other, even Naomi or Boaz. And so we see Ruth's life, and we see how Ruth's love defined her life. But then finally, we notice Ruth's legacy. I was watching television this afternoon, and I heard a man make a statement in whatever it was I was watching. And he said that he had come to realize that as he had gotten older, there was one thing that was important above so many others in life. And that was, to him, his legacy. In other words, what he left behind when he left, what people thought about him, or what contribution he had made to society when he left. Well, Ruth, though she might not have necessarily been wrapped up in her legacy, nonetheless left a legacy. And it's a legacy that we certainly appreciate today as New Testament Christians. But first of all, one means by which she left a legacy was a legacy through loyalty. And we talked about how that Ruth's loyalty defined who she was. When we think of Ruth, more often than not, we're probably going to think about one who's loyal. We're going to think about one who's willing to follow Naomi at all cost. We're going to think about one who is willing to accept the God of heaven as the true God, even rejecting the false gods of her family. And so Ruth left a legacy of loyalty, which means that it's a legacy that we can learn and live by today. We must have the same degree of loyalty, in other words. We must be loyal, as we talked about this morning in our listing of priorities. We have to be loyal to God. We have to realize that God is our top priority, is the one to whom we are to plead full allegiance, the one to whom we are to have full loyalty. We are to have loyalty to our families, husbands to their wives, wives to their husbands, parents to their children, and children to their parents. There has to be loyalty within any relationship. And there has to be loyalty in other things that we have in life as well. Our jobs, our recreation, things of that nature. There's a sense in which we have to have loyalty to those. And myself as a person, what people think about me, my reputation, my credibility, is really, in to some degree, going to be based on my loyalty. If I'm not viewed as a loyal person, are people really going to be accepting of me, or maybe willing to listen to what I have to say? Probably not. Just as much as if I was a dishonest person, people wouldn't be willing to listen to me. And so just as Ruth was loyal, so do we need to be loyal today. In all that we do and all that we say, to whom all we pledge our allegiance, we must have that loyalty to define who we are. But then maybe the most obvious legacy of importance that Ruth left was her legacy through lineage. Because it was in Ruth 4:18-22, after the marriage of Ruth and Boaz, they came and knew each other, and she conceived a child, brought forth that son. And in verse 18 through the rest of the book, these verses are devoted to giving the lineage of Ruth and Boaz. And there's obviously a purpose in such. And it says, "And these are the generations of Phares. Phares begat Hezron, and Hezron begat Ram. Ram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Nashon. Nashon begat Salmon, and Salmon begat Boaz. Boaz begat Obed, And now verse 22, notice, Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse begat David. Now, that's an important seed line, would you not say? Ruth and Boaz brought forth a son named Obed. Obed brought forth Jesse, and Jesse brought forth David. And we know who David was, the future king of Israel, and the one through whom the Christ would come, as we find in Matthew 1, 4 to 6, where we begin pretty much with the same genealogy. Aram begat Amminadab, Amminadab begat Nahshon, Nahshon begat Salmon, Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth. Obed begat Jesse, Jesse begat David, and David begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah. Working up to verse 18, for the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. What was Ruth's legacy of lineage? Jesus Christ, the Son of God. She was in the seed line through whom our Savior, our Redeemer, and the Messiah came. And so we certainly should be appreciative of her life and obviously the legacy that she left for us, not only in loyalty, but likewise in lineage. Ruth's qualities as a person, as a Bible character, as a role model, are those that in principle can help us and equip us to be better students of the Bible, to be better servants of God. As we notice the fact that just as she was loyal in so many aspects of her life, so should we be today. And may her influence always spread abroad. May she continue to be studied. May she continue to be learned from. So that all that she did would always impact those of us who are willing to live and serve God. Tonight, if you're not a child of God, if you haven't dedicated your life or made yourself loyal to the God of heaven, follow that example tonight. There is a God in heaven who has created you and has provided the means by which you can be redeemed. And our hope and our prayer tonight is that if you have not responded to that wonderful gift that He promises unto us and makes available to us, that you would do that tonight by responding to the invitation of our Lord. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God before us. And be baptized for the remission of your sins, become a child of God, and one day go to heaven for all eternity. Or if you're here tonight and you are a child of God, and yet you've wandered off the righteous pathway, God continues to plead with you and to call unto you through His Word that you might come back, rededicate your life unto His cause, and restore your soul unto the faith that has saved you from your sins. If you are subject to the invitation of Jesus Christ this evening, please come now. Do it for yourself and do it for the God whom you love. But do it now while together we stand and sing.
God is calling, the prodigal come without delay.